morning. I want to continue on with what I preached on Wednesday night. Not Wednesday night, but on Sunday night. Good to have my friend Brother Troy McGahan and his wife, Tara. They're taking a little break from church, and I'm thankful that they come our way to visit with us this morning. He's doing mission work over in Nancy, Kentucky, and it is a blessing to have him and Tara and little Zachariah with us as well. He's over there smiling from ear to ear. All right. Now, I ain't going to hide. I called him out. On Sunday night, I started preaching. I preached on a message that character is parenting yourself. That's what character is. The Apostle Paul had wrote 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now I'm going to recap, and our text can be found in the book of James, and then I'm going to gather some thoughts together. But Paul wrote that when he was a child, he spake as a child, he understood as a child, he thought as a child, but when he became a man, he said he put away childish things. Now, I believe what he was talking about, the difference between maturity and immaturity. You see, he says, when I became a man, he's not talking about when he got 6 foot tall. He's not talking about when he grew whiskers. He's not talking about when he put hair on his chest. He's not talking about when he got big biceps. But what he's talking about when he got mature enough to take care of his own decisions in life, when he was able to parent himself, then he become a man. You see, he's talking to us about maturity and manhood. Maturity and manhood, you reach it in life when you're able to take control over your own life. That's what maturity is. Now, I want you to understand that you reach maturity when you start doing things that once required your parents to do. You'll find that Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I want you to understand that you reach maturity when no one has to stand over you and tell you what you ought to be doing. You know, I tell you what, I didn't tell my kids are not mature enough yet. I still have to tell them to get up and brush their teeth. Huh? Still have to tell them to take a shower. Can you believe that? I mean, you see them at church camp and parents ain't there. I mean, they're thrilled to death because they can probably go 4 or 5 days without taking a bath. And why is that? Well, they went to the pool and went swimming. Ain't that good enough? And as a man, I understand that logic too. Okay? I understand that completely, but mamas don't. They just don't get that. And so, I want you to understand that, but you shouldn't have to tell your kids to get up. Listen, if they start maturing, they know to get up, make their bed, and to take a bath. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. Listen, what happened to him, there come a point in time that it didn't require an outside influence to keep him doing right and what he ought to be doing. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I keep my body and bring it into subjection. You realize that your body, your person, does not want to come subject to authority, and it has to be made to bend to authority. Paul said he brings his own body into subjection. In other words, his mind, his body don't want to cooperate, Brother Paul. It wants to do what it wants to do. But I want you to understand that he's speaking of growing in manhood, speaking of growing in maturity. He's got to make his body fall along and do what is right. Now listen, I want you to understand character is parenting yourself. There's some things you've got to do. Children don't grow up right and then fall off. That ain't how it works. Listen to me. God gave them parents to bring them to maturity. So if character is parenting yourself, there's three things, and I'm not going to preach them, I'm just going to remind them to you, that you have to do as a parent. And you've got to make that application on self. Number one, you've got to set the right example. Number two, you've got to be in command. This according to Genesis 18:19, what it said of Abraham. Then not only have you got to be in command, you've got to be able to restrain your children, as found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 13. I want you to understand, you've got to take responsibility for your own life. You can't be pointing your finger at others and blaming others. You've got to establish some principles to live by within that you'll not be crushed by the pressure from without. I want to say to you, number three, the less character you have, the more control something has to have over you to make you do right.
That's the same thing with our government. The less character our nation has, the more government it takes to control our nation. That's why I believe we're moving towards socialism and communism. Amen? Man, some of you are looking at me funny this morning. I'm getting ready to preach, so hang on. What I'm saying to you, listen to me this morning. If you go to the book of James, chapter number 1, James chapter number 1, verse 14, I want you to see this, and I'm just going to point out a simple truth, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to lay in on it. The Bible says in James 1, 14, but every man is tempted. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. I pray your blessings upon not only the reading of the Scriptures, but upon the message. In Jesus' name, amen. You notice the Bible says, but every man is tempted. I want to preach on this subject. Your character will be tested. You understand that? Every person here's character will be tested. If character is parenting yourself, if you don't do a good job parenting yourself, your character is going to be tested and you'll fail the test. Now, I can prove it through Scriptures. You see, the question of temptation is not if it will be tested, but rather when it is tested. You see, everybody's character is going to be tested. Everybody will face temptation. It's not a matter if it will happen. Trust me, brother, it will happen. I want you to understand that if you never learn to parent yourself, there'll come along a time that you're going to have to make decisions for yourself. And if you make those decisions and you've not matured enough to make the correct decisions, you're going to fail the test. If you've not studied and a test is laid before you, unless you're a genius, there's a good chance you're going to fail the test. I want you to understand this, and I want to drive this home real hard this morning. Your character will always be tested away from your authority figure. That's when your character is going to be tested. You say, preacher, what are you saying? You go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3, verse 1. Let me tell you what happened. There come a day that Satan was there, and he was a very subtle beast. The Bible tells us in Genesis 3, in chapter 3, and verse number 1, and you know what he did? He come to Eve, and he said, yea, hath God said. Let me say, did he tempt Eve while the head of the home was around? Did he tempt Eve while Adam was standing nearby? Huh? The authority figure. Come on. No, he didn't tempt Eve then. In fact, I want you to understand, he tempted her and said, hath God said this? Hath God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And she begins a dialogue with him. I want you to understand that Adam was the authority figure there. Say amen to me. Nod your head. Huh? She apparently at this time, Adam was not with her. So guess what? I want you to understand she was tested when she was away from her authority figure. That's what happened with Eve. Now I want to say to you, Satan caught her away from Adam. I want you to understand, I don't believe Eve was a rebellious woman. In fact, I believe she was probably the most beautiful woman that you'd ever meet. Probably one of the most kind, sweetest ladies that ever lived upon planet Earth. She wasn't rebellious. I don't believe she gave Adam 1 minute, 1 second's worth of trouble while Adam was around. I believe she followed her husband's leadership. I believe she loved her husband. I believe they got along like two peas in a pod. But you listen to me. There come a day Adam was one place, Eve was somewhere else. And when the authority figure was away, that is when Satan spoke to her. In the very beginning. That's when he spoke. Now I want you to understand, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy, chapter number 2, the conclusion of that chapter, that Eve was deceived. Huh? Man, I want to tell you what, when you're away from your authority figure, you know what the devil will do? He'll try to deceive you about what is truth. He'll try to deceive you about what is right and what is wrong. When you get away from your authority figure, that's the way the devil works. And by the way, the Bible says Adam was not deceived. You see, he willfully sinned against God and partook of the fruit. And I believe he done it because he loved his wife, but he willfully sinned and did what he knew was wrong. She was fooled when her authority figure wasn't around. Don't let me stop there. I want you to look at someone else that failed the test of parenting himself. You go in the book of Genesis chapter number 13, you're going to find another individual. Not everybody, every preacher preaches on poor old Lot. Every preacher probably giving poor Miss Lot a hard time, but I believe she cared more about her children and grandchildren than Lot ever did. How in God's name could you walk out of that city being destroyed, hearing the cries of the city of Sodom, if you had children and grandchildren there, sons-in-laws there, and not turn around, and sons there? How in God's name could you not turn around and look? Amen. Well, I'd like to say in behalf of Miss Lot. And so, I want you to understand in Genesis chapter number 13, something happened. You'll find Lot was tested. There come a day, God blessed Abraham, did He not? And God blessed Lot because he was with Abraham. Now, nowhere when I read the Bible, I'm just going to tell you, nowhere when I read the Bible do I find that Lot ever questioned or challenged the authority of Abraham. I had news for you. He was a good nephew. He followed Abraham wherever Abraham went. He didn't rebel against Abraham. He didn't cause trouble. He didn't cause strife. It wasn't him. But there come a day that where God blessed Abraham and God blessed Lot, that their cattle got so much that the people that took care of their cattle was trying to take care of them in a small area. And those people that was taking care of Lot's cattle got in a fight with those that was taking care of Abraham's cattle. And all the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Mennonites that were in the land, let me catch it later, they were watching these people supposed to be God's children, God's elect, fight with one another. And Abraham said, we be brothers. We ain't supposed to fight in front of a lost world. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to separate one from another. Now, I want to tell you, Lot followed Abraham. Lot worshiped. He never complained about going to church. Lot never complained about how Abraham talked to God and followed by faith. He never, listen to me, he got upset with Abraham. There come a day that they were set before him all land. He said, choose you. And Abraham, there it was. And he put the decision in Lot's lap. And Lot had to make the decision for himself. Are you with me? I want you to understand, he never was a rebel. He never said, I'll not go with you. He never done that. But there he was presented for the first time to make a decision. And you know what he did? The Bible says that he lifted up his eyes in verse 10 of Genesis 13. He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as a garden of the Lord like to the land of Egypt. Now the Bible tells us, as you read in verse number 13, that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They were wicked. They were sinners. How wicked and sinful were they? They were wicked sinners exceedingly, the Bible says. Huh? The Bible's pretty descriptive. So there he was. Here he is. It's time to make a decision. You know what he does? He looks at the well-watered plain. He says, there's the city of Sodom. Man, there's a lot of opportunities there. My cattle will flourish there. My cattle will do well there. He didn't ask if there's any good schools down there. He didn't ask what he'd do to his family. But you know what he did? He packed up his family and he moved down towards Sodom. And you know the rest of the story. I want you to understand, Lot lost everything in Sodom. God looked at the wickedness of that city one day, said, I'm going to destroy it. He sent angels in, had to drag him out. And when he left there, he left sons, he left daughters, and he left sons-in-laws, and no doubt grandchildren there behind. All his wealth was invested in that city, and God destroyed it. His wife turned into a pillar of salt, and she turned around and looked to see the judgment. God said, don't look back at it, just leave. But not only that, you'll find he got out there in that cave, and he got drunk, and he slept with his own two virgin daughters. Had children by him. Man, Lot lost everything, did he not? He lost everything. And you know where it all started? You listen to me. There come a time in his life he had to make decisions for himself. His authority, he was tested. Listen, I got news for him. He wouldn't have made those decisions if Uncle Abraham had made it for him. Huh? Listen to me. If Uncle Abraham had moved down there and been his authority figure and went with him to the plain, Uncle Abraham said, you better stay away from that city. And you know what Lot would have done? He said, all right, that's right, Uncle Abraham. Uncle Abraham would have railed. He said, they're living wicked before God. God's judgment's going to come. If Abraham had been down there, and you know what Lot would have said? He said, amen, Uncle Abraham, that's right. But there come a day that Uncle Abraham wasn't there to point out right and what was wrong, and he hadn't charactered, he hadn't parented himself, he hadn't developed some convictions about things, he didn't have some principles to live by. And I want you to understand, when the decision came to him, he failed miserably. Say amen. Well, now, not only there, let me give you another. I'm going to move on. There's a guy by the name of Aaron. Picked on Jacob last week, pick on Aaron this week. Huh? Man, I tell you what, we need to find, may I find some Bible characters, some real weird names. Hopefully, we ain't got nobody's real weird names here. We'll find that Aaron, what happened to Aaron was, you go back to Exodus chapter 32, he was somewhat of Moses' assistant pastor, if we want to give it that. And Moses went up into the mountain, commune with God, getting the law of God. And all the time before, Aaron did extremely well, as long as who was around? His authority figure, Moses. Aaron did right. I mean, he was right on. He was there, locked, stopped away, amen, and he was scotching Moses. He was encouraging Moses. He's standing behind him. I mean, everything, God blessed. And, I mean, he looked like just a pillar. But you know what happened one day? Moses up communing in the mountain. The people come, start grumbling, started complaining, started putting pressure on Aaron. In Exodus 32, as they put that pressure on Aaron, they began to grumble. They began to complain. I want you to understand what he did. He failed miserably during a moment that Moses wasn't around, his authority figure. People said, he's gone up there and he ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. What are we going to do? They said, we want to make us a god. You know what he did? He said, give me all your earrings. Give me all your jewelry. He threw them in the fire, and he built a golden calf to come out. And he said, this be your god that brought you up out of Egypt. Uh-oh. Huh? Moses, God looks at Moses and said, Moses, your people down there might just kill them all. Huh? That's what, isn't it amazing to you? There's time Moses, man, he hated them so much sometimes, he said, God, just kill them all. There's sometimes that God, he despised them so much that he wanted to kill them all. And you know what happened every time that Moses got frustrated? God said, now listen, these are my chosen people. You can't be that way. And every time that God got frustrated, you know what Moses did? He said, God, but these are your chosen people. If you destroy them out here in the wilderness, everybody say, man, he wasn't much of a God at all that brought them out of Egypt. Man, can you imagine what happened if God and Moses both got mad at the same time? Huh? You ever thought about that? I have. That's just how my mind thinks. Anyway, Bible tells us, and what you'll find is, and I forgot where it's at, Exodus 32, that Moses comes down off the mountain, and you know that he's extremely upset, takes the law of God, and he dashes them. They broke God's commandments. And he said, what in the world is going on here? The people are running around and dancing naked. And they're having a big party. Joshua and Moses. And evidently Joshua stayed at the base of the mountain. And so here they are. And Aaron starts making excuses. Aaron says, let not thy anger of my Lord wax hot. Verse 22 of Exodus 32. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Wait a minute. People said, Aaron built us a god. Couldn't Aaron have said no? Couldn't have Aaron said, I'm not doing it because it's not right? He could have. But you know what he did? He let the pressure from the outside crush him. And he said, Moses, listen, don't be upset. Here's what happened. All I did, I just took the gold earrings and the silver earrings and all that. I threw it in the fire and out popped this golden calf. That's not an excuse of a kid. Mom, all that, all I do is I'm just running through the house with the bat. Somehow, I don't know how it went through the window. I really don't. Couldn't have been that they threw you 10, the other brother threw you 10 pitches and you swinging with all your might. Huh? I mean, I just had this bat in the house and it just went flying through the window. Huh? Now, my boys hadn't done that one yet. That sounds like little boys, don't it? That's just what happened. Dad, I just shot my BB gun. I don't know how that it went through the window. Huh? That sound right? And so that's just the way it is. And that's the excuse he made. Didn't he sound awful childish? He did sound awful childish. You know what it is? He was acting like a child. You want me to tell you why? Because he had never learned to parent himself. Huh? He hadn't reached maturity yet. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. And I became a man, I put away childish things. Man, I want you to understand when the pressure was on him, he caved, he gave in. You see, the moment that he had to stand on his own two feet, the moment that he was to have some grit about his character, he didn't do it. You see, he let pressures make decisions for him and not principles. You hear me? He let pressures make decisions for him and not principles. You see, Lot, I want you to understand, he made his decisions based on convenience rather than principle. You see, here it is, Aaron, he made decisions based on pressure and not principles. You'll find poor little Eve, She was deceived rather than following the principles that God had laid out. I'm just saying to you, it may appear that everybody fails the test, but everybody don't fail the test. If you go over to the book of Daniel, chapter number 1, I want you to see something. You talk about somebody that was set up for failure. They were four young men that were set up for failure, but they did not fail. The Bible tells us, you go to Daniel chapter 1, I'll read to you just in a little bit. Daniel, listen to me, was tested away from his authority figure. The Syrians had captured the northern kingdom. Now the Babylonians had come along and they captured the southern kingdom. And they sought out the youngest, they sought out the brightest, the most intelligent that was in the land of Judah. And they brought them back to Babylon. They put them in school for 3 years to train them in Babylonian culture, how to walk, how to behave, how to think, how to talk, train them in the language, train them in the culture, train them in their sciences, train them in their astrology, train them in every aspect of Babylonian culture. They might be servants to the king. And so I don't know if they brought 10,000 back, but I'm going to tell you this, if they brought 10,000 back, 9,996 of them compromised. But thank God they was four when they were away from their authority figure, yet stood up firm for what they believed in. You want me to tell you why? Because they wouldn't just borrow on somebody's beliefs. They had character about themselves. They had some principles that they had developed in their own heart and mind that they were going to live by, and that's what they did. You'll find that the Bible tells us that they come and they brought them there. Here's these young men to be trained. Now I want you to understand that I believe Daniel, when he grew up, he had a dad who said, "Listen here, son. Here's right and here's wrong." He said, "Listen here, son, here's some principles that you ought to live by. You shouldn't compromise these principles." You see, I want you to understand, he understood that if his son was to survive in any place in the world, that his internal principle and his internal strength must match the external forces that is out in the world. He said, "Listen, son, we don't bow down to idols, we don't worship them. Some we're going to pray, even when it doesn't matter if people say we can't pray. We still yet have a responsibility to pray and talk to God. We're going to bow down 3 times a day. He taught his children principles. Listen to this. He trained them and he supplied the discipline to make sure it happened. Amen. He parented well. But you know what? Daniel got took away to Babylon and his dad didn't go. And Daniel was tested when his authority figure wasn't around. They might, everybody else might have compromised, but you'll find in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he'd not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself. You come to him and said, "Listen here, here's how it's going to be. I don't want to defile myself." Daniel said, "I'm not going to do that. There's some principles my dad taught me to live by. I'm not going to give in to them." So he stood. He stood for sure. You know what happened with Daniel? There come a time they come and said, "Listen here, we want you to eat this. We want you to drink this. We want you to do this." And so he didn't make an insulting demand. He requested the prince of eunuchs, said, "Try our God. See what happens. Try our God. You just give us pulse and water. See what happens." And he said, "Listen, they're going to be upset with me if you all start looking skinny. You all start looking unhealthy." He wants people that are strong and healthy to be serving in the court. "I can't do this." He said, "You just try our God for a certain amount of days," and they did. And you know what happened? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guess what? Bless your heart, they were healthier than everybody else that was there. And they had special insight. They had special knowledge. They had special intelligence. And God gave them special impact in that realm. I want you to understand that they would not bend, they would not bow, they would not break. It didn't matter if they said, "Don't pray." Listen to me, they prayed. They said, "Don't bow." We're throwing the fiery furnace. They still, listen to me, they refused to bow to wrong. They wouldn't do it. They said, "Worship nobody else but the king." They said, "We're still going to worship the God of heaven." These boys, listen to me, they didn't break. Didn't break. Why is that? I'll tell you why. They was tested away from their authority figure, but they had learned to parent themselves. You see, they governed themselves well. I liken it unto this. You can take a can of pop and you can squeeze it. God, I want you to go home and try it. Just don't do it in the middle of your mother's living room. Teenagers, go outside and squeeze that can of pop. One hand, see if you can bust it. You take a can that's empty, any dummy can squeeze it, crush it, cannot. You want me to tell you why? Because the strength that's on the inside of that can, when the lid's on it and it's all the pop still in it, is stronger than any force you can exert on it from the outside. When our life is governed by the principles of the Word of God, the internal strength we have is greater than any force that can be exerted on us from the outside. The devil can pressure, he can bring problems, he can bring every heartache our way, he can try to discourage us. But I want you to understand, you will succeed once you learn to parent yourself. Not everybody fails. Thank God there's some people out there that have purpose in their heart. They're going to live for God. My challenge for you today is to make that your decision. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thankful for this opportunity to stand and preach this morning. God, I'm not wanting people to try to live by a bunch of rules, because all they're doing is borrowing other people's beliefs. God, if they're just following other people's rules, they're going to fail. They're not going to succeed. God, they've got to have some principles they're going to live by for themselves. God, that's my desire, that we'd have a church house full of people that lives by principles. I shouldn't have to write a bunch of rules for them to follow. It'll be people to please you. But God, my desire is that inside they'd have some principles they're not going to compromise on. They're going to parent themselves. They're going to make themselves do what is right, because it is right. Bob Jones used to say, do right to the stars fall. And that's my desire, that we do right regardless of the consequence, regardless what others think. God, help us to succeed for your honor and your glory. Not that we might have success, but God, as we here upon this earth, in this community, are your representatives, help us represent you well. Help us to parent ourselves, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning.